Welcome to the Business of Behavior podcast, hosted by Dr. Becca Tagg. We support clinicians who have been bitten by the entrepreneurial bug, looking to strengthen their practice to better serve their clients, employees, and themselves.
Hello, and welcome to the Business of Behavior podcast. I am your host, Dr. Becca Tagg, and this is session 28, Self-Care. If you're a member of the ABA Business Builders group on Facebook, then you're familiar with our Self-Care Sundays. This is a weekly thread where I encourage people to share the ways that they're practicing self-care. And maybe this is something that's a word or a phrase that people hear a lot, but maybe aren't totally sure what it means. So I want to take some time and talk a little bit about what is self-care and ways that we can practice self-care that are reasonable or realistic. And this is a topic that's of particular interest to me, both personally and professionally. And the concept or the topic for this session sort of came up when I looked at the most frequently listened to podcast data, and the one that people listen to the most and have responded to the most is the one on burnout. And since self-care is a way to ward against burnout, I thought that this might be a nice follow-up. So self-care is a way to take care of ourselves. It's really care provided to us by us. It's things that we do to help take care of ourselves. And really, when we think about taking care of ourselves, as you guys know, I'm a big ACT or acceptance and commitment therapy clinician. So it's how do we live aligned to our values? Because when we are living a value-aligned life, we feel fulfilled. And feeling fulfilled is a great way to practice self-care. So what we do is spends a lot of energy. So in order to have a lot of energy to use, we have to have energy to use. So think of self-care as a way to refuel our gas tank. You can't run a car with no gas in it. And we are essentially a machine, and we cannot run without fuel. Some of the simple fuels include things like drinking enough water and eating good food. And good food, not just tasty food, but food that has enough nutritional value. But of course, a mix of the two is probably best, right? Food that tastes good and food that has high nutritional value. Taking care of ourselves at the most basic level also includes taking regular biology breaks. I often call them bio breaks. And that's things like going to the bathroom when you have to go to the bathroom, or filling your water bottle when it's empty, not waiting till we get through the next activity or waiting till the next natural break or the next house, right? It's eating at well-spaced intervals throughout the day, not just when we get a minute. It also means getting enough sleep, and that's like not staying up till 2 a.m. every night grading papers or writing behavior support plans. Maybe you do that intermittently, right? Every so often we have a sprint that we have to get through of work, but it isn't our daily practice. It means we have to fill all of our biological needs to be able to do anything else. Think of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. We can only work on those higher level values or needs once our most basic needs are met. And the challenging work that we do, helping kids and families take steps towards their goals, certainly takes a lot of energy. We need to eat when we're hungry, drink water, get enough sleep, and breathe. I didn't even talk about breathing, and that's so important. Most of us are doing it wrong, and I know that sounds weird or silly, but we are. Breathing is about getting oxygen in and having it travel through our bloodstream to the rest of our body, and then expelling the carbon dioxide. So the thing is that breathing is our body's number one priority. I learned that in sequential oral sensory feeding therapy workshop that I went to. Number two is postural stability, and number three is eating, for those of you that are interested in what those the top priorities are. But back to breathing. So we need to fill our lungs fully and get as much oxygen as we can and then exhale the carbon dioxide. A lot of times we're breathing from our chest. And so you see your chest going up and down, and these might be more shallow breaths. When we breathe from our diaphragm, those are, I call them belly breaths. That's when we're getting that deep breathing. We're filling our lungs with oxygen and getting enough oxygen that it can travel throughout the bloodstream, through our entire body, to better fuel our bodies. So we reviewed those basics about self-care, and that's really the bare minimum. We have to drink enough water, get enough nutrients, get enough sleep, and breathe oxygen. But what about the other stuff? I don't want to aim for the bare minimum. We are overachievers, right? Most of us. And that helps us do well in a lot of our jobs and also keeps us maybe stuck in other settings. There's a podcast about that too. But so what we want to do is think about other ways you can practice self-care that are realistic. Sometimes when I'm working with supervisees or even therapy patients, I might ask them, how do you take care of yourself? And usually there's this kind of blush, or they break eye contact, or they look down, and they usually say something along the lines of they aren't, or they take care of everyone else. And yeah, that's true. And we want to take steps towards changing that. We can take care of others and take care of ourselves. It does not have to be one or the other. And actually, really can't be just one or the other. So sometimes then I'll ask them, how would you tell a friend in your position to take care of themselves? And this often creates a little bit of distance between us and the problem, and sometimes that makes it easier to talk about. So maybe I'll say, if one of your friends was telling you that they took care of everyone else and that they weren't really taking care of themselves, what would you encourage them to do? And then wait a couple of seconds. They may have not thought about it in that way. And so starting to think about it is starting to take steps towards coming up with ideas. And so maybe I'll ask that to you guys listening to the podcast. If somebody was telling you that they were taking care of everybody else and they weren't really taking care of themselves, what would you encourage them to do? Okay, and that was only about 3 seconds of silence, and already it felt maybe a little uncomfortable, right? We want to lean into that discomfort and let that person or yourself, maybe in this case, think about that question. What would you tell another person to do if it was a friend who was coming to you having a hard time taking care of themselves or reported only taking care of other people? Another way to get closer to some ideas are to think about some of your favorite things. What do you like to do? And then how can we get more of that into your daily life? And self-care does not have to be huge. And actually, it shouldn't be huge, because the big stuff is harder to pull off, right? It takes more resources, whether that's money or time. And big stuff is what we work towards. So maybe an annual vacation, right? But self-care is not just the big stuff. There are these little things that we work into our daily life to remind ourselves that we're important and that we're human beings and that we cannot run on empty. There are cues that we embed in our environment to remind us that we cannot serve from an empty vessel. We must take care of ourselves in order to take care of others. And part of being a good BCBA or RBT or mental health clinician or even being a good mom requires taking care of yourself. So yes, we want to talk about those bigger things like planning vacations or days off every quarter or a massage once a month. Whatever those bigger things are, yes, do those. And the other thing that I focus on are those little luxuries, I call them, in your daily life. So little things that you really like that you can have a couple times a day or every day. So for me, I like coffee, and I like good coffee. My mom drank a lot of coffee growing up, and I remember sitting at the kitchen table and drinking some of her coffee when I was little, and it was always good quality coffee. And so I splurge and get myself, it's called Pete's. It's a It's a brand of coffee that I like, and it's a little more expensive, but I really like it. And every morning, my first cup of coffee is a Major Dickinson's Pete's Roast coffee. And I also spend $10 a month on an Audible account so that when I'm in the car, I can listen to Audible books. And I keep a mug from home at the clinic that was given to me as a gift when I was leaving undergrad to go to graduate school. And when I have a cup of tea, which is another little luxury on reports or a cup of coffee at the clinic or anything really, I can drink it in a mug that reminds me of home and reminds me of graduating undergrad. So sometimes I work on reports from home because even though I'm still working, it's much more comfortable and feels indulgent to be able to do it at home in my pajamas or on the couch with my pugs snoring at my feet. I also use, I love the smell of vanilla and patchouli. And so I have some of that scented lotion that I keep in my purse. And so just putting hand lotion on a couple times a day because my hands get dry from washing them, and having it be a nice scented lotion is a little luxury throughout the day, right? Cutting up a lemon or a cucumber and putting it in a jug of water takes regular, plain, boring tap water and turns it into spa water. And just the idea of spa water whisks you away into a relaxing and comfortable self-care atmosphere. You don't have to drink spa water only at the spa. You can bring it with you wherever you go. And it's an inexpensive and small way to provide a little luxury for yourself. Purposefully embedding these little luxuries into your day, your day-to-day activities, and then taking the time to notice them in your environment helps fill your cup a little bit each time you see that environmental cue. And if we think about this behavior analytically, we're also modeling for those around us to do the same thing. We're showing them what self-care looks like, not just those big things, but the little luxuries. And then that's also taking steps towards our value of self-care, and taking steps towards that value is, again, fabulous committed action, which feels awesome. And if we're going towards our values and towards our goals, we're going away from things like burnout and depression. We're creating a culture where self-care is important and valued. We're also pairing our environment with these little luxuries, right? Because we know that when we present one thing with something that's a reinforcer, that other more neutral thing takes on the reinforcing values of that reinforcer. So we know this works. That's what we do with the kids we work with, and we should really do it for ourselves too. Even more, we can reinforce those around us when we see them practicing self-care. We can give verbal praise or attention or even reward them with those little luxury items, those little tangibles that we see them using with themselves. And pairing ourselves with those tangible items that we're using as reinforcers for others, those little luxuries with our supervisees, helps us to take on those reinforcing values of those items. Remember, guys, we know this stuff works. It's pairing. And that's why we use it with the kids we work with. And we can and should use it on ourselves and our colleagues too. If we start our day with a full cup and everything we do is spending energy, and spending energy is like taking a little bit of water out of that cup, by the end of the day, that damn cup is empty. But if periodically throughout the day we put a couple drops back in, we fill it up a little bit, by the end of the day, our cup is not bone dry. And wouldn't it be nice to end our day tired, but a good tired, but not completely depleted, with enough water left in our cup to make it through the evening? That is self-care. And that's a huge step away from burnout. So again, I'm your host, Dr. Becca Tagg, here on the Business of Behavior podcast. And I really appreciate you guys spending the time with me on this podcast. I know how valuable and finite a resource time is, and I'm just so humbled every time I think about other people tuning in and hopefully gaining some ideas or some clarity, or even being able to get clear on your own values so that you're in a position to feel ready to take that committed action towards your own values. I'd love to hear about how you guys are embedding those little luxuries in your day-to-day and how it's going helping others around you do the same thing, right? Because that's what leadership is. And feel free to join the ABA Business Builders group on Facebook, where this whole podcast started, and chiming in about self-care any day of the week, but particularly on our self-care Sundays. I hope you have a great rest of your day.